Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Rock Pod. What's up, rockers? Welcome back to the Rock Pod, the show that's like a bootleg record on a potato lo-fi, but somehow still magical. That's right. Today, we're talking about one of the most influential, mysterious, stubborn, principled, contradictory, trend-defying, arena-filling bands of the last 30 years. We're talking about Pearl Jam. Yeah, baby, the band that went from grunge, poster children to arena rock royalty, while trying to burn down every business structure around them. You want backstories? Yeah, we got them. Dirt? Yeah, we got some. Awkward band tension? Yep. Mother Love Bone? Absolutely. Now let's strap in, tune that guitar to drop D, and let's kick this thing off. Welcome to the Rock Pod. We begin in the late 80s, when Seattle was still wet, grunge wasn't even a genre yet, and the only people buying flannel were loggers and your uncle who smelled faintly like transmission fluid. Pearl Jam starts with tragedy, specifically with a band called Mother Love Bone. Yeah, you've heard that name before. Formed by future PJ members Stone Gossard and Jeff Ament, after the breakup of Green River. They had a glam grunge sound, like Sunset Strip meets Logging Camp. Their charismatic singer, Andrew Wood, was a glitter rock alien dropped into the Seattle gloom. He wrote theatrical lyrics, wore scarves, strutted like Freddie Mercury, and basically willed the band into becoming the next big thing. And then the cocaine and heroin got him. Right before their debut album could launch, Andrew Wood died in March 1990. Everybody in that circle was devastated. Gossard, shut down. Ament, shut down. Seattle, shut down. But loss has a way of creating new things.
Rock Pod.
As Stone and Jeff mourned, Wood's roommate and friend, Chris Cornell, whose voice could melt steel and make grown men cry at the same time, started writing tribute songs. He roped Stone and Jeff into recording them. They roped in Matt Cameron on drums. They needed another singer for harmonies, so they brought in a surfer from San Diego who had no idea he was about to become the voice of an entire generation. Eddie Jerome Vedder. Yeah. The man with 1,000 emotional vows. You know the one. Eddie heard the demo of Hunger Strike and was like, hey, maybe I can sing harmony on it. And Cornell went, nah, dude, this is a duet now. Boom. Temple of the Dog was born. Lightning in a bottle. The record flopped initially, but became huge later. And we'll talk about Temple of the Dog in another episode. So Stone is writing new riffs. Jeff is back on bass, and they bring in Mike McCready, guitar wizard, Dave Crewson on drums, and Vedder vocals. Freshly moved from San Diego and probably still smelling like a wetsuit. Boom. Mookie Blaylock is formed. Yeah, the NBA player. Because Pearl Jam is weird. Record labels were like, man, you can't name yourselves after a basketball player. The band said, well, okay, we'll just name the first album after his jersey number instead. 10. Pearl Jam logic, chaotic and good.
Rock Pod.
And in 1991, Pearl Jam drops 10, and the world goes, what the hell is this, and why do I feel so many feelings? The album in a nutshell, once, chaotic, heavy, sweaty, even flow, Stone's riff, Eddie forgetting lyrics during takes, Alive, the anthem that wasn't meant to be uplifting, but fans made it one. Jeremy, based on a real tragic story, Black, one of the greatest heartbreak songs ever. Still never played on SNL or released as a single because Vedder said he didn't want it commercialized. Oceans, written with Vedder slapping the studio radiator. This album didn't just blow up, it detonated. It was slow at first, and then it was unstoppable. MTV put Pearl Jam on rotation, and Eddie Vedder suddenly became a reluctant sex symbol for the flannel and combat boot crowd.
Rock pod.
Early Pearl Jam concerts were absolute chaos. Vedder scaled amps. He climbed scaffolding. He climbed lighting rigs. He climbed security guards if they stood still too long. He was like, let me get as high as the emotional intensity of this song. And fans were like, sir, that is not OSHA compliant. Look up early shows. It's absolutely wild. These were raw, sweaty, dangerous performances that made them must-see live legends. By 1993, the band was huge, and Eddie Vedder hated it. He didn't want to be a rock god, didn't want to be a sex symbol, he didn't want to sell out, didn't care about charts. He wanted to be Eddie Vedder, poet, howler, climber of things. The band starts retreating from spotlight. No more music videos, except for pre-recorded ones. No commercializing, no big marketing, no interviews, no fancy stage designs, scruffy everything. Stone once joked, we're the biggest band that refuses to act like the biggest band.
Rock pod.
And we got to talk about Pearl Jam versus Ticketmaster. It's like David versus Goliath, except Goliath was a monopoly and David was a group of dudes in flannel who never wanted to file paperwork. But they did. The band took on Ticketmaster, held Senate hearings, tried to build their own touring system. The results? Well, Ticketmaster basically said, cute attempt, but no. Most venues wouldn't book them because Ticketmaster controlled everything. It hurt the band, but fans loved their integrity and their music. Let's talk about the music. Man. Versus 1993. It's a heavier, rougher, more unpolished. Lead single is Go. Metallogy, 1994. Weirdest booklet ever. Half masterpiece, half fever dream. Songs like Spin the Black Circle, Corduroy, Immortality, and Nothing Man. And then Bugs, and a few more. Let's look. They were experimenting. No Code, 1996. This is where critics were confused, but the fans who got it absolutely adored it. Off He Goes, Hail, Hail, and Who You Are. Yield, 1998. Still one of my favorites. Back to Clarity, Given to Fly, Wishlist, Do the Evolution. They finally made another music video, an animated one, so they didn't have to be in it. Binaural in 2000, experimental recording technique. Fans call it underrated. Pearl Jam has had more drummers than Spinal Tap, except theirs didn't spontaneously combust. Here's your list. Dave Crewson on 10. Matt Chamberlain, he did one tour. Dave Ambrosi, Versus and Vitalogy. Jack Irons, No Code, and Yield. And then Matt Cameron, again. From 1998 onward, and a machine. Cameron is the GOAT. When he joined, the band stabilized. Now let's get into some dirt. We're not going to get tabloidy, but here's the stuff fans whisper about. Jeff Ament and Stone Gossard often disagreed creatively. McCready struggled with addiction in the 90s. Eddie Vedder, well, he nearly quit several times. They almost broke up several times. Internal tension created some of their best music. But through everything, they stayed a family. A dysfunctional family, but still a family. June 30th, 2000, a festival in Denmark. 9 fans were killed during Pearl Jam's set in a tragic crowd crush. This changed the band permanently. They almost quit. Eddie spiraled emotionally. The band took years to recover. Safety became their top priority. And their song, Love Boat Captain, references this. Lost 9 friends we'll never know. 2 years ago today.
Rock pod.
Since the 2000s, Pearl Jam has continued to make great music. Riot Act in 2002. Pearl Jam, Avocado in 2006. Backspacer in 2009. Lightning Bolt in 2013. Gigaton in 2020, and Dark Matter in 2024, which is an absolute banger. They grow, evolve, mellow, get politically active, and become elder statesmen of rock. Their live shows become legendary, and their fan club releases become iconic. And Eddie Vedder becomes the wise surfer poet we all need. So some may ask, well, what's Pearl Jam's legacy? Okay, well, here you go, silly person. They made grunge huge. They spent years trying not to be huge. They fought monopolies. They wrote some of the most emotional rock songs ever. They aged gracefully without selling out. Their fan base is insanely loyal. And they're one of the greatest live bands of all time. They are the definition of integrity, flannel-clad integrity, of course. And that, my friends, is Pearl Jam. A band born from heartbreak, forged in the grunge explosion, baptized in chaos, strengthened by tragedy, and carrying a three-decade legacy of music that still moves people in massive arenas. So if you've never seen Pearl Jam live, put it on your bucket list. If you already have, well, you're probably trying to see them again. And if you're Eddie Vedder, come on the show, man, and bring some wine. Check out therockpod.com for more episodes, merch, and riffs. I'm Jimmy. Keep your amps loud, your flannel unwashed, and your heart wide open. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes. And be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip.